John, let's look forward. You've talked about the Democratic Party needing a story to tell, trying to figure out where they sit in America. And I wonder why we're not seeing radical, really progressive policies coming out of the Democratic Party. Are they really failing on that front, or are they just failing to communicate it?
Because the Democratic Party isn't just one entity, and because we have a two-party system in the Democratic Party, you have people on the far left and you have people on the center left. And so you have very progressive policies proposed by some people in the Democratic Party, and then other people you don't have policies as progressive. So I do think one area of agreement between maybe the left of the party and the center left of the party is this focus on the fact that, most people in this country right now can't afford the basic necessities of life. They can't afford housing, can't afford childcare, groceries are too expensive. And I think there is an anger in this country bordering on disgust with the billionaire class and elite institutions. You have people agreeing about that on all sides of the party. And I think the question of what policy solutions we have for that is going to be debated in 2028.
But those challenges from America that you just set out, it makes it even more extraordinary to me that the Democratic Party is not gaining support on that. I was looking at an Ipsos poll, and it was showing that Americans disapprove of the way Trump is handling the cost of living.
Yeah.
But Americans are still split on whether the Democratic Party could do a better job. I find that astonishing.
Yeah. Well, so here's why. The Democratic Party is shut out of power, right? Don't control the House, don't control the Senate, don't control the White House. And so if you're a typical American, you are not an avid news consumer. You're not following along very closely. And so what you see in the news is Donald Trump doing things that you don't agree with. But you hear Democrats, but to the extent that you hear Democrats, you hear them criticizing Donald Trump and saying how bad it is what Donald Trump is doing. So I do think it's difficult for Democrats to break through right now with a positive vision. I think some of that gets taken care of as we head into a primary season where the locus of the debate, the national debate, becomes, okay, which of these Democratic candidates are we going to nominate for president? And let's debate their policy platforms and what they stand for, right? So you get a little more attention there. But between now and then, I think it's very hard for Democrats to break through. Now, that's not to excuse Democratic politicians for not coming up with creative enough, bold enough policy solutions and visions that would break through, right? I do think there's a lack of creativity and boldness there, but I do think they are facing a lot of constraints as well.
Are the Democrats afraid, do you think, to go down the Bernie Sanders, the Zoran Mandani route of really profound policy change? I mean, Zoran Mandani is talking about rent freezes and the state-run grocery shops.
Yeah, there is some of that. And look, I think the electorate here is a bit more moderate, particularly in the states and districts that you need to win a majority. But look, I think even if you're talking about Mamdani, right, state-run grocery stores or city locally run grocery stores, even though he proposed five as a test run. But just to take it as an example, I think if you polled that, it would not be very popular here with most voters, especially most voters in swing states. But then there are very populist economic policies universal health care now has been popular here for a while and is very popular, including, Medicare for all, building a ton more housing and making housing more affordable. These are extremely popular policies. And so I do want to see Democratic candidates coming up with very ambitious policy proposals that are not necessarily super complicated for people. I think that sometimes people just want to hear if you want to work, there's going to be a job for you. And if you get a job, you're going to be able to afford to live somewhere. And you're going to be able to afford to see a doctor if you get sick. And if something really bad happens to you and you really need medical care that costs a lot of money, be able to be taken care of as well. And if both people in the family want to work, we're going to make sure that there's child care that you can afford for your kid. And our policies are going to do that.
So you think the Democratic Party is failing to do that at the moment?
Yeah, I think in a way that's breaking through, certainly. I mean, just based on the polls that you were just citing, clearly that's not breaking through to people.
Are you urging the party to shift there?
I am urging the party. I'm urging people to, this is what I always think about with candidates, put down the polls, stop listening to us, reading all the pundits and watching all this. Look around at the country. Think about what's happening. Think about how you feel about what's happening. Think about why you got into public service and what kind of country you want to live in, to leave to your children, for the what kind of country you want the rest of the world to see. And speak about that country and speak about it passionately and speak about how you're going to get us there. That's what I want.
I just want to end on a broader vision that you're coming to Australia and New Zealand for a tour. It's called Hopefully Just Visiting. It makes me feel like you think you're not going to be allowed back into America.
I was going to say, yeah, if you'll we might need an exit strategy, so.
Yeah, let us know if you need some help there. But part of it is, part of that tour is to talk about that global spread of right-wing authoritarianism.
Yeah.
And I wonder for Australia, just before we finish, what are the lessons here for us? You know, we have a centre-left government in charge. We have growing inequality. We do have compulsory voting. But we do have also growing popularity of a party called One Nation, and it's a far-right party, anti-immigration, doing very well in the polls. We have a divided conservative landscape here as well. What message do you have for progressive politicians in Australia to say, this is how you can avoid the mistakes that the Democrats have made?
So I think there's a tension between promising what you think voters want to hear about rising inequality and being able to deliver on that promise. And I think if you are not ambitious enough in what you propose and how you talk about the problem of inequality and the problem of what people are going through, if you're not ambitious enough, then people think, you're not going to do anything for me. And so maybe this other party that's telling me my problems are the fault of people who don't look like me or come from where I come from or don't speak the language, I should just go with them. So that's one problem. That's one way that you get towards Trump. I think the other challenge is you campaign in a way where you offer these ambitious, bold policy proposals. You talk about inequality. And then once you get into office, you just can't deliver. And you always sort of knew that you couldn't deliver because you know that politics can be messy and difficult and slow. But you kind of say it anyway because you're just trying to get through the campaign. I think that is another way that you end up with right-wing authoritarians because they prey on people's distrust in institutions and the failure of institutions to deliver on what they have promised to deliver. And so I think that there needs to be bold and ambitious, but also realistic in what you can achieve and be constantly, constantly communicating with voters about what you're doing, why you're doing it, why you might have failed to deliver on something that you promised, what you're going to try to do next time, how you're going to fight harder. Because I think that the day in this information environment, the days of, okay, thank you for your vote. I'm going to go govern and I'll come back to you at the next election. Hopefully you'll be happy with what we did. And that's that. Those days are over. I don't even think they were ever around, but like they're certainly over now. And so I think you need to govern like you are campaigning in the sense that the communication structure that you have during a campaign needs to be up and running and very powerful and compelling while you're governing.
To drown out other voices.
To answer them, to debate them. The other thing that we did wrong is, oh, Donald Trump is so offensive and so crazy and this brand of politics is so extreme, the country would never go for that. But we actually have to make the case for why the system of government we have is good for people because people might be choosing between an authoritarian government and a democratic government. And you can't assume that everyone's going to say, oh yeah, democracy is good. So of course we want democracy. You have to say, okay, this is why it is better for you and your family than this other government, because that is the other side of the spectrum right now. And you need an argument and you need to be arguing with those people and debating them.
John, it's a febrile time in Australia here, and I think a lot of politicians will be listening to your message as well. You and other members of Pod Save America are in Australia at the end of next week for your tour. Very best of luck with that, and thank you so much for talking to us today.
Can't wait to be there, so thank you for having me.
That was Pod Save America's John Favreau. This episode was produced by Miles Herbert and myself, Regid Ahmed. Sound design and mixing by Daniel Simo. Video editing by Karishma Luthria. And the executive producer of this episode was Joe Koning. Don't forget to subscribe or follow Full Story wherever you listen to podcasts.